Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund, here with you. The most wanted man in the United States of America is Brian Laundry. Brian Laundry is the man who many people think killed 22-year-old Gabby Petito. And that story is everywhere. It's all over the news. They were dating for a while. They were on a car ride across the United States of America. And I know she was posting a lot of stuff on social media during their trip. And then all of a sudden, people stopped hearing from her. And he returned from their cross-country trip without her. And then last week, her body was found out in Wyoming. And now police are looking for him. He's the most wanted man in America. He lives in Florida. He returned after he drove back to Florida, but he was alone, obviously. And he stopped into his parents' house. He was there for a little bit, and then he left. And now police have been looking for him. The house where he lives in Florida, where his parents live, has been inundated by all kinds of people, media, and even Dog the Bounty Hunter showed up at his parents' house. And he knocked on the door, and Brian Laundry's mother called 911. She looked out the window and saw Dog the Bounty Hunter with his long, flowing white hair. And she called the police on him. But he is now looking for this guy. And they say this guy, Brian Laundry, is an outdoorsman. He loves the outdoors, and he's been in, they think he's been in the woods in Florida, the swamps in Florida, living there. Some people think that he might have went to Mexico. Some people think that he might have went to Canada. I mean, it's a sad story. It's dominating the news. And, you know, it's pretty wild when someone like Dog the Bounty Hunter gets involved. You know, he just got married for the sixth time. Do you think that's making a mockery of marriage and getting married if you marry six different women?
I was thinking about that real deeply the other day when I found out that he got married six different times. And I'm trying to figure out, let's say you're the woman that's getting married for the sixth time, marrying him for the sixth time. You're number six. How does he convince you that you're number one? Like, you're the main one. You're the love of my life. After five other women, you know, have been told the same thing, he thought he could live the rest of his life with those five other women. I know one of them doesn't count because I believe she died, but in general.
His last wife died.
Yeah.
And he recently married wife number six.
If a woman came up to me and I knew she was married five different times before me, I would have a hard time believing that I would be the one to break the chain or break the pattern or stop the vicious circle. You know, I would have a hard time believing that me being number six would be the guy, the main one. I'd just be another cog in the wheel.
So if you're the most wanted person in the United States of America, you've got so many police looking for you. You've got the media looking for you. He won't be able to avoid them much longer. I mean, when there's this much attention on you, you're going to get found, whether you're still alive or maybe he's going to off himself. I mean, he's literally the most wanted man in America, this guy, Brian Laundry, and they haven't been able to find him yet.
Which is weird when you think about all the technology we have, GPS locators, trackers, satellites.
Some people think his parents helped him escape, because when he came back from the trip that he took with his girlfriend, Gabby, he obviously came back alone, and he was at his parents' home in Florida for a couple of days, a day or so, and then he split, but evidently he left his cell phone at his parents' house. And but I can't imagine the most wanted man in America avoiding capture when there are so many people looking for him.
Well, you can rest easy, John. Now we have Dog the Bounty Hunter on the case, so it shouldn't be long now.
And his mother called the police when Dog the Bounty Hunter knocked on the door, and you know, it was all video recorded because there are just so many people hanging outside of that house right now. And you see Dog the Bounty Hunter walk up and knock on the door, and he knocked a few times, and then the next thing you know, they played the 911 call from Brian Laundry's mother to 911 saying, yeah, there's people trying to get in my house, and 911, they have called 911 several times because there are tons of people. That's the world we live in now. When there's one story that's the biggest story in the whole country, when you've got the most wanted man in the entire country, people will just flock to spots.
Yeah, the poor mother. You know, she didn't ask for none of this. She has to deal with all these people harassing her, and it's understandable why. But still, I mean, is it on her? Should she have to suffer from the media barrage and all that just because the son did something stupid?
I know Dog the Bounty Hunter is popular, but he's not a guy you'd probably want to see knocking on your door.
No. No. And it makes me wonder if Dog is doing this because he's genuinely invested in the case or he's just trying to get some PR.
That's a good point. So today's Tuesday, Coleman. Do you think they will find him, Brian Laundry, by the end of the week?
I can't call it. I have no idea. Because the guy clearly has experience in traveling and traversing the country, so he knows his way around the country because, you know, he's a road trip type of dude, and he is an outdoorsman, so he's not going to be found in any major cities. I know that.
Yeah, I hope they find that character soon. All right, coming up on the show this morning, a bunch of Saints fans were in New England for the Saints' victory over the New England Patriots on Sunday. A story just came out about how a couple of Saints fans came to the rescue when there was a bizarre, violent incident that happened in Boston. We'll tell you about that. We have a lot to do on the show today. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. And 2 days ago on Sunday, the Saints were up in New England. And they beat the New England Patriots, as we mentioned on the show yesterday. If you watch the game, hey, a win's a win. It wasn't the prettiest win, but they got the win. That's what matters. And it'll be neat on this coming Sunday when the Saints play their first home game here in the Superdome in New Orleans.
Yeah, we were talking about the first week against Green Bay and then the second week against Carolina, and we were asking, what is the real New Orleans Saints? Is it the one we saw against Green Bay, or is it the one that we saw against Carolina? You think the one we saw against New England is more true to life of what we have to look for the rest of the season? I know you said the offense needs an identity. We still haven't figured the offense out, but as far as the defense goes, they're going to be the key to keeping us in.
Yeah, Coleman, I think as we enter week four, I think the real New Orleans Saints are a team that has a real good defense like last year, and they're still finding themselves on offense. They've been through a lot of adversity this year between injuries. I mean, this is the first year without their legend, Drew Brees, and Hurricane Ida made them leave, and now they just got back into town late Sunday night, and they're finally home for the first time in around a month, and so they overcame that. They still need to get an identity on offense. That's what they need to do, and. They're welcoming the Giants this week, and the Giants are 0-3 and they stink. So that's good news. But up in New England this past Sunday, there were a bunch of Saints fans at that game. And something happened in Boston over the weekend where a couple of Saints fans came to the rescue after something bad happened. There was an escalator malfunction at one of the T stops in Boston. The T is the public train transportation. They call it the T. And at one of the T stops, an escalator malfunctioned, and there were a couple of Saints fans that were right there. And evidently it was one of the Saints fans that stopped the escalator, which stopped more people from getting injured. An escalator malfunction in Boston after the Saints-Patriots game Sunday sent several people to the hospital. And two Houdats, two members of the Houdat Nation, were able to help. It was two women, Sarah O'Coin and Claire Maya. They were both up there for the Saints game. And while they were there, they were able to stop a malfunctioning escalator from hurting more people. He said it was a bunch of people did get hurt. Those two women, those two Saints fans, were on the escalator Sunday after the game, and suddenly the escalator at one of the T stops in Boston reversed direction, causing dozens of people to fall. So the escalator was moving, and then it just stopped, and it started going the other way. And one of the Saints fans, Sarah O'Coin, said, quote, "When I felt it stop, we ran to the top. I looked behind me. I saw the pile of people, and I saw blood everywhere." And the other Houdat, Claire Maya, told reporters she was able to quickly step off the escalator and spring into action. And she said that she was able to hit a button.
Ah, there we go.
that made the escalator stop. And evidently there was she said, quote, "I ran and hit the emergency stop button on the escalator and held it down until I was sure it was stopped." Boston paramedics said 9 people were taken to the hospital with minor injuries. But these two Saints fans who were up there said they saw people that were badly hurt. I mean, one of the women said that there was blood everywhere, and this one little girl who had most of the side of her face gone, and her ear was almost off her head, and
yeah, I wonder what's worst. Was it that the elevator was going up?
Escalator.
The escalator was going up and it stopped in reverse and came down and everybody fell face first forward? Or was the escalator going down and it stopped in reverse back up, causing either way, you'll face plant forward. But I wonder which direction the escalator was going in before it stopped and then reversed. But either way it reversed, you're going to fall face forward and face plant.
Yeah, the story doesn't say which way the escalator was going. One of the Saints fans, one of the women here, said after it happened, she ran up and then pushed the emergency button.
They were probably going up the escalator then. I wonder what caused it to go rogue. You think the escalator was upset about something? Was it a glitch in the Matrix?
What do you mean, was the escalator upset about something? I'm
trying to figure out what would just make it stop in the middle of the day and just reverse course, just all willy-nilly.
What do you think, it was pissed off that the Patriots lost to the Saints?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Was there a reason why the escalator? Because we always talked about what's going to take over humanity, whether it's primates or robots, like artificial intelligence. I'm trying to see if this is a sign that maybe we're getting to that day where the technology is starting to be aware of itself.
The escalator was moving up.
Okay, it was moving up.
It was moving upward, and then it just went backwards. And that caused said everyone just started falling like dominoes. People were falling over each other. We're a bunch of kids. But it was a Saints fan who came to the rescue and got off the escalator, pushed the emergency stop button, and because she did, stopped more people from getting injured.
Yeah, that's good.
This happened on this very same escalator back in 1996. When that happened, more than 20 people were hurt during that malfunction at the same subway station, at the same T station. And in 2011, it happened again, another escalator malfunction, and that hurt five other people.
The same exact escalator? From 96 and 2011?
Yeah.
Maybe they should just decommission that escalator if it's going to flip out every few decades or so.
So, but good news that a couple of Saints fans were there and helped and did something that stopped more people from getting injured. So I thought that was cool when I saw that, and I hope all the people that got hurt, I hope they're going to be all right up there. That's bizarre when you're on a public escalator at a train station, a subway station, a public escalator, and it's going up, and all of a sudden it just stops and starts going down.
No, what's more bizarre is that it happened a few times in the past and people still said, all right, screw it, we'll keep the escalator.
Well, they thought they fixed it. But anyways, great job, ladies. Good stuff and way to represent Saints fans up in New England. All right, coming up on the show. You see, I just read an interview with the actor Will Smith, and he said that he and his wife have had an open relationship, that they have they've done sex with other people, and their marriage is doing well. I wonder if that's the answer to some people. I mean, we know how prevalent divorce is in our country. I wonder if I saw that. We got to tell you about a Guinness Book of World Records breaking dog, to tell you why this dog is in the Guinness Book of World Records. And I've got another story about a man who looks just like a celebrity. He looks so much like the celebrity, he has to wear disguises when he goes out. Or people think that he's the celebrity. We got a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So did you know that the man who shot President Ronald Reagan, John Hinckley Jr., do you know that he's been living with his mother for at least 5 years? And yesterday it made news that the Justice Department has agreed to drop his release restrictions, meaning that he'll be able to go wherever he wants, do whatever he wants. There are no restrictions on him, even online. He can. But I mean, how do you feel that he was released from a mental hospital 5 years ago in 2016 and has lived with his mother for the last 5 years in Williamsburg, Virginia, even though he's had release restrictions on him. I mean, how do you feel about that? The guy shot the president.
How old is he?
Well, if he was in his early 20s in 1981, Coleman, you do the math.
I'm not that good at math.
He's in his 60s?
Oh, yeah, he's not a threat. Yeah, let him go shopping his hover round or whatever.
But the guy shot the president.
You don't believe in redemption? He shot the president in
1981.
Yeah, 1981. I was born in 1981. So, yeah, I think if he hasn't caused any harm since 81 until 2021, I think it's safe to assume he's probably okay. I mean, they let Bill Cosby out. I mean, how much of a threat can this guy be?
But he was in a mental hospital for a long time. 5 years ago in 2016, he was released from the mental hospital to live with his mother in Williamsburg, Virginia. So for 5 years, John Hinckley Jr. has been out on the street. I mean, how would you like to be some guy sitting in prison right now for marijuana? You know, and where that's becoming legal in lots of states. Yeah, you're sitting in jail for weed, and the guy who shot the president of the United States not only has been out of jail for 5 years, not even jail, he's been out of a mental hospital for 5 years, living with his mother. Yesterday it was announced he will have no more restrictions on him. He can go and do whatever he wants. You have no problem with, like, if you were in a shopping mall and John Hinckley Jr. bumped into you?
No. He did it in 81. People can change. He did his time. Let the guy live the rest of his life.
I don't know if shooting the president is a releasable offense. If you're listening right now, do you agree with the Justice Department dropping the release restrictions for the man who shot Ronald Reagan? John Hinckley Jr. I mean, how do you feel about him being in a mental hospital and then being released from a mental hospital 5 years ago?
Isn't that the point of a mental hospital, to help people get better? Isn't that the point to rehabilitate them? And it's called a correctional facility because they're trying to correct people. It's a rehabilitation center.
He shot the president of the United States.
I've seen O.J. Simpson playing golf on Twitter. So...
Hey, if you're listening, text us. Do you agree with me? I think this is wrong. Or do you agree with Coleman? Coleman doesn't think it's a big deal that the guy who shot President Ronald Reagan not only is out, but he has, starting soon, he will have no restrictions on him. I mean, I think that's crazy. I think it's crazy he was released from a mental hospital 5 years ago. I think it's crazy he was in a mental hospital. He's crazy. I mean, he shot the president. Text us. Keep it short. One or two sentences. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. But I disagree with Coleman here. I have an issue with this. Or am I wrong? Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. REM there. Losing My Religion, one of their biggest hits, and it had a mandolin lead. That's why they were surprised when that became one of their biggest hits, because there aren't too many hits that have a mandolin lead.
You know, I was thinking about that earlier. We were playing the Eagles, and they had a banjo in it. And I was thinking, you know, we always talk about the greatest guitarist, but we never talk about who's the greatest banjoist or the greatest mandolin player.
No, well, in both of those cases, Coleman, with REM and in the Eagles song you're talking about, it was the guitar player from those bands. The Eagles, one of the guitar players, cool. who was playing the banjo for the Eagles, and the REM guitar player playing the mandolin for them. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. And I just mentioned how the man who shot President Ronald Reagan back in 1981, John Hinckley Jr., just had his release restrictions dropped by the Justice Department. John Hinckley Jr. was released from a mental hospital 5 years ago, in 2016, he's been living with his mother in Williamsburg, Virginia. He's actually a musician. He plays guitar and he sings. But I thought this whole thing is crazy. I mean, he was in a mental hospital. I mean, he wasn't in prison. And then he was released 5 years ago in 2016 for shooting the president of the United States in 1981. And now the Justice Department has agreed to drop his release restrictions, because even though he's out living with his mother, he still has restrictions. But those restrictions are going away, and I think it's kind of crazy. I mean, the guy shot the president of the United States. Coleman over here doesn't think it's a big deal that he was out, and he doesn't think it's a big deal that his release restrictions are being dropped by the Justice Department. He doesn't have a problem bumping into John Hinckley Jr. walking down the street. And I asked you to text us. Do you think it's wrong that he's out? I mean, he should have been in prison when he was in a mental hospital. And he's been living with his mother for the last 5 years. I mean, how many people are in prison for marijuana or smaller crimes, and they're sitting in there right now? And here's the guy who shot the president of the United States in 1981, and he's free.
Tony says, hang him. Jeez. Christina from New Orleans says, I do think people are capable of redemption, but I agree with John on this one. It's wrong. This text says, let the man live his life. He paid his dues.
Did he?
81 to 2, dude, that's 20 years.
Well, slow down here.
Uh-huh.
He did it. He shot Reagan in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
He was released from a mental hospital in 2016.
Yeah, that's a long time. 81 to 2016, that's a long time.
But he shot the sitting president of the United States.
I understand that. I understand that. This text says, I'm not the president, so I have nothing to worry about. Kenny G said he not only shot the president, but he killed Brady, a Secret Service agent.
Well, he shot him in the head and messed him up for life. And there were a couple of other people that he shot too. So, you know, the texter's right. It's not just the sitting president he shot. There were what, three or four other guys who were shot. James Brady was the guy he shot in the mm-hmm. head. And I don't get how. A, he wasn't in prison. He was in a mental hospital. And B, he was released in 2016 to go live with his mother.
And Kenny G asks, would Coleman think differently if he was related to Brady? Once again, I have to tell the story. My dad was murdered when I was 14 years old. If I bump into the murderer today, I'm over it. Of course, I would have some questions. Of course, I would harbor some feelings. But it's like, dude, it was a while back. If I bump into the person that murdered my dad today, I wouldn't want him hanged. I wouldn't want him killed or lethally injected. But I would ask him, why did you do it, and have a conversation with him, because I'm over it. Yes, back when I was 14, 15, I wanted the guy to fry because it was fresh. But now that time has passed, you know, I would say, hey, I'll forgive him. I would forgive the guy. I say, I don't know what you were going through back then, but I believe people can change. I truly do believe in redemption and forgiveness and rehabilitation. I do, truly, to my heart. So, yeah, this guy done this in 81. It's 2021. You know how much has changed as far as life goes in 40 years? A lot can change. We don't know where this guy's heart at now. What we're doing is we always take that one thing that people are known for, the worst thing in their life, and we harbor that no matter how much people change. We harp for that one thing.
Shot the sitting president of the United States and a few other people who were right around Reagan.
He shot a man. But let's say he got baptized. And you're a Catholic. Right? Let's say he got baptized and asked the Lord for forgiveness and he repented. Would that not change your mind about who this person is? You don't think people can change over the span of 40 years?
Sure, I think people can change. I just don't think it was right that he wasn't in prison. He was in a mental hospital. And I don't think it's right that in 2016, He was released
so
from
you don't,
that.
You don't agree with the experts that actually had to watch over him in the mental hospital? You don't agree with the experts at the Justice Department that think, yeah, all right, this guy's cleared to go? These guys have been monitoring this dude since then. They've been watching his progress. They've been paying attention to him, and they obsessed. They said, yeah, I think it's okay to let this guy be free. So you don't agree with the experts?
Well, Coleman, I just think if you shoot the sitting president of the United States of America and a few other guys who were around him, I don't think you should see the light of day ever again.
Okay, well, we'll agree to disagree. I agree that whatever they did, I think they assessed that this guy's not a threat anymore. They assessed that he should be free to live the rest of his life, and yay, I'm cool with it.
Text us. Keep your texts coming in. Do you agree with Coleman? I disagree with him. Or do you agree with me? I think this whole thing is wrong, to be honest with you. Text us at 504-260-9595. We want more of your texts. I want to see if you agree with Coleman or you agree with me about John Hinckley Jr., first and foremost, being in a mental hospital and being released from that mental hospital in 2016 to go live with his mother. And now, 5 years later, the Justice Department in our country just agreed to drop the release restrictions that were on him, that are on him. Text us, keep it short, one or two sentences. If it's good, we'll read it next on the show. Do you agree with me and think this is nuts? Or do you agree with Coleman? Hey, people can change. It's been 40 years. Let them out. Wow. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. And since it's 5 after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh. Oh.
Oh. If you're just joining us, Coleman and I disagree about something, and we wanted to get your take on it. Who do you agree with, Coleman or me? We were talking about how it made news yesterday that the man who shot President Ronald Reagan back in 1981. John Hinckley Jr. And by the way, Reagan wasn't the only one that he shot. James Brady was shot in the head. I know one of Reagan's Secret Service agents took one right in the chest. Reagan wasn't the only one shot. A few people were shot that day in Washington, D.C. Well, yesterday it made news that the Justice Department agreed to drop the release restrictions for John Hinckley Jr. He's already out, and he wasn't even in prison. He was in a mental hospital, and he was released from the mental hospital in 2016. He's been living with his mother in Virginia since 2016, and yesterday it made news that the release restrictions that have been on him are going to be released, are going to be dropped. I think this whole thing is wrong. I think it's wrong that he wasn't in prison, that he was in a mental hospital. I think it's wrong that he was released from that mental hospital 5 years ago to go live with his mother in Williamsburg, Virginia. And now I think it's wrong that the Justice Department is dropping the release restrictions on him. Coleman doesn't think it's wrong.
I said I don't think it's a big deal.
I mean,
I don't think it's that major of a, because once again, 40 years have passed. Your stance is he should, I guess, rot in prison. My stance is I believe that he probably was a bit mentally ill and he went to some sort of rehabilitation. The reason we call these things, correctional facilities or rehab, is for the purpose of correcting somebody's behavior or rehabilitation. And they were monitoring this guy. It's not like they weren't paying attention to him. They were monitoring him. They were assessing him. And the experts, whoever they are, have determined after 40 years, we believe that he's no longer a threat to society. and he should be free to live the rest of his life. That's what I feel. Is it good or bad? It's irrelevant to me. It's not a big deal. If they say so, screw it.
I mean, how many other people have done a lot of time in prison for doing a lot less on the outside than shooting the sitting president of the United States and other men that were around him? I think it's nuts. And he obviously had mental health issues, because after this happened, he said that he was obsessed with the at the time, the young actress Jodie Foster. But, you know, I think, Coleman, about people who are in prison for marijuana, or people who are in prison for a long time for things not nearly as serious as shooting the sitting president of the United States and men who were around him. I mean, James Brady got shot in the head. The Brady Bill came out of that. And I asked you to text us, do you agree with me? Or do you agree with Coleman that, all right, he served his time? Experts have been paying attention to him for a long time. And if that's what they say, then so be it. I Coleman and I don't disagree a ton. We disagree sometimes. And this is one of the times that we're disagreeing. I say this is wrong, and we asked you to text us. Do you agree with Coleman, or do you agree with me?
This first text says, some crimes you just can't forgive. AJ says, he shot the president to impress Jodie Foster. He was nuts. This text says, he was found not guilty by insanity. He did 35 years in an institution, 5 years probation. To say he should never see the light of day makes it sound like mental illness should not be considered for wrongdoings. This text says, if he's mentally sound enough to be let out of a mental hospital, he's mentally sound enough to serve a prison sentence. I'll meet you halfway. I'll say, yeah, now that he's mentally stable enough to live, maybe he should serve time. I'll meet you halfway and say that. Yeah, I could agree with that.
And if you're just joining us, earlier in the show, Coleman mentioned how when he was a kid, someone shot and killed his father. And Coleman said that all these years later, if he redeemed himself, if experts thought that he was all right to be released, Coleman wouldn't have an issue with the man who
not
shot
even
and
that.
Killed
I don't
his
even,
father.
I don't even released. Have an issue with him. Let's say I met the guy that killed my father. All so much time has passed that I'm over the feelings. Life has moved on. So even if I met the dude, I personally wouldn't have any hatred or anger towards it. That's what I mean. Like, I really do believe that, you know, after so much time has passed, what's the point of harboring that anger? What's the point of harboring that hatred? I think that's probably one of the reasons why I feel the way I feel about this issue, because I was born in 81, so I don't remember it like people who saw it happen. You know, I remember 9/11. I was an adult, you know, I was older for that. So maybe the reason why I don't think it's a big deal is because I don't understand the societal impact it had at the time, because I was just being born. So to me, it's like something that happened, like Vietnam. I wasn't around for Vietnam. So my personal opinions about Vietnam are just based on what history has told me, not based on what I've actually experienced. So I do believe that some of the people who feel like he should burn in hell, this, that, and the other, they were around at the time when it happened. They saw how it affected the country. I wasn't. I'm hearing everything from retrospect.
But I was a kid when Reagan got shot, and he shot, John Hinckley Jr. shot the sitting president of the United States and other men around him. And I like that first text you just read. You know, some crimes, Coleman, I think some crimes warrant never being released. This guy wasn't even in prison. He was in a mental hospital.
Yeah, because he was clearly crazy. Yes. Gene says, I agree with Coleman. Even if he was sent to prison after several decades, he would have been rehabilitated. Haven't you ever seen Morgan Freeman in Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah, that's a movie, though. It's a great movie, but...
Drew W. says, if you ever spent time in prison or a mental institution, you probably wouldn't be so quick to judge. I'm not sure what that one means.
No, yeah. I live my life to avoid prison and mental institutions, Texter.
Would your position be different if he killed the president? Well, we wouldn't be talking about it because he would definitely be serving life in prison if he actually did kill the president.
And that was something funny that came out of this is when they brought Ronald Reagan, the president, into the hospital after he got shot. He looked at the doctor and he said, I hope you're not a Democrat.
Roy says, Coleman is correct. People can and do change. Jesus redeems the worst of us. And FYI, if you get saved in jail, that's great. You can also serve the Lord and Savior in jail. Look, they got a lot of them coming in.
Well, this is something I think that most people would have an opinion on and something you and I are disagreeing about, Coleman.
Mm-hmm. It says, put yourself in Brady's family's shoes. Brady was given a life sentence. Why shouldn't a guy be serving a life sentence? That's another thing. I also don't like the idea that we feel like we have to solve suffering by more suffering. Since this person suffered, this guy also has to suffer. Since he made this person's life miserable, we should all be mad at this guy and make his life miserable too. You know, if that was the case, why not just go to how we used to do things, like with dueling and stuff like that, like public executions? If that's how we really feel as a society, why do we have a judicial system in the first place? Aren't we supposed to be better than the criminals? Aren't we supposed to be like, well, yeah, we're going to lock you up. We're going to try to rehabilitate you because we're better than you. But if we feel like, well, if this person's burned down your house, well, I got to burn down your house, that makes us just as bad as them, right? That's what I was always told. We have to be better than them. We have to look at things better. Yeah, he shot the sitting president. And if he did it for political reasons and he had more wherewithal, I would probably feel different. But he did it because he was nuts. He did it because he was crazy. He probably feels different about Jodie Foster now than he did back then in 81. 40 years have passed. His mind has probably legitimately changed, especially after he found out that Jodie Foster doesn't want anything to do with him. So what's the purpose? I believe that this guy is no longer a threat to society. So let the guy live his life. What's the worst he can do now?
Again, I think there are some crimes, Coleman, that, you know, I've been to Washington, D.C. There are two Hilton hotels in Washington, D.C., because where John Hinckley Jr. shot Ronald Reagan was right outside of a Hilton hotel. And there are two Hilton hotels in Washington, D.C., and one of them, that one, to this day, is still referred to as the Hinckley Hilton, even though where he shot Ronald Reagan, right outside of the hotel, that's been redone. It doesn't look anything like it did in 1981 when this happened. But I enjoy hearing your texts because, again, this is a story that most people have an opinion on. And Coleman and I happen to disagree on this one. Well, we appreciate your texts as always. Keep them coming in. There are other things we've got to get to on the show this morning, including there's a guy who looks so much like the singer Ed Sheeran that he has to wear a disguise when he goes out because he always gets so much attention, people think he's Ed Sheeran. Would you be wearing a disguise if you look that much like a celebrity? Stay tuned for that, and we've got more to get to here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. You know, the wildfires out in California, they're awful, obviously, and they happen all the time, but a woman just got arrested because authorities say she started one of the wildfires by boiling bear urine. to drink. She's 30 years old. Her name is Alexandra Suvernova. And she's a self-described shaman. I mean, there's some, she's a woman and she calls herself a shaman.
What you want her to call a sha woman?
I don't know if there is such a thing. Coleman, are you familiar with a shaman?
I know what shamans are. Yeah, those are the people that do the peace pipes.
Smoke weed every day.
And they meditate and they take you to a higher plane of dimension based on your astrophysical plane of metaphysical aura.
When Jim Morrison was alive singing for the Doors, he referred to himself as a shaman. When the Doors would be playing concerts and you'd see him.
Did he take you to a higher plane of existence? Did you see funny colors and pink hippos?
Oh, I'm sure people saw funny colors and pink hippos when they went to a Doors concert.
Oh, yeah, he's a shaman.
Back then.
Yeah, he's a shaman.
But this woman said that the wildfires in California that they're saying she started, she said she started them by accident. Because she's a shaman and she was boiling bear urine to drink. And that's what started one of the wildfires. I wonder where she got bear urine from. Where would you go get bear urine that you could then put in a pot and boil it to drink because you're a shaman?
I would assume a bear.
Yeah, but you'd have to get next to the bear.
Yes, you would.
Are you going to put a pot underneath a bear while it's going number one?
I would assume so. I mean, I don't think you get bear urine after it's already on the ground, right? You would have to get it fresh in a pot.
I'm asking the question.
Right out the tap. You had to get it right out the tap. So I'm assuming she puts a pot down in front of a bear or behind a bear to get her bear urine.
You know, I'm still looking for the woman of my dreams. I wonder if a female shaman would be someone that I would find attractive.
She drinks bear urine, though.
Yeah, that's an issue.
I didn't even know bear urine was flammable. The fact that she started a wildfire while trying to boil bear urine.
Well, I would like to know how and where she got the bear urine and how long she's been a shaman.
A sha woman.
How about that? A sha woman here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. I was just reading about this guy. He looks so much like the musician Ed Sheeran, that many times when he leaves his home, he has to wear a disguise. And he does so to escape crazy fans. It wasn't that long ago, we talked about a guy who lived in England, I believe, who looked a lot like Brad Pitt. And he said
he had a hard time getting women because he looked like Brad Pitt.
Yeah, which is bizarre. But we were talking about that. Boy, could you imagine if you're a dude and you look a lot like Brad Pitt, you would think life would be easier for you.
Yeah, the problem with him was even though he looked like Brad Pitt, he didn't have Brad Pitt's money.
Well, this guy, he lives in England, too. His name is Ty Jones. And he's from Manchester, England. And he grew up believing he'd never accomplish his dreams of becoming an entertainer. But then he realized he looked pretty much exactly like the singer-songwriter from England, Ed Sheeran. And now this guy has put that to use, and he works as a full-time lookalike, and he's also an aspiring actor.
But he should play Ed Sheeran in the Ed Sheeran biopic.
He says that looking so much like Ed Sheeran has some drawbacks. And the biggest one is how Ed Sheeran has some fans who are obsessed with him. And because of that, when this Ed Sheeran lookalike named Ty Jones goes out, most of the time, he has to wear a disguise. Could you imagine that? Looking so much like somebody, a celebrity, someone famous, that you would have to wear a disguise just to leave your house?
I think most people, depending on who the celebrity is, they would like to look like a celebrity, and they would show their face all the time so they can be confused with that celebrity. That way they can score babes.
He says, quote, I've had crazy numbers of fans follow me.
Good thing it's fans.
And he has to escape Ed Sheeran fans when he's out in the public because he looks so much like him. So he says the easiest thing for him to do is to wear a disguise. I don't know if he wears one of those, you know, pairs of glasses with the fake nose and the mustache.
The nose, the Macho Groucho, whatever it's called.
Groucho Marx, yeah.
Hey, imagine being a celebrity and a celebrity lookalike, or you look so much like a celebrity, but that celebrity that you look like has the wild nights in Vegas, and now he owes some handler some money, and the goons go looking for him, and they mistake you for that celebrity.
He said he's had Ed Sheeran fans come up to him. They've been crying and shaking. He said some person on a bicycle was driving by him while he was walking down the street, and they crashed their bike because they were staring at him.
Huh. I've seen stuff like that happen, but I can honestly say I don't know what that feels like. I've never been that starstruck, and I met some of my favorite celebrities, yet I was still able to hold my composure. I didn't freak out, so to speak.
There was one person that came up to him and said, oh my God, I can't believe I just met Ed Sheeran. And they were literally shaking. Could you imagine looking like that much like a celebrity?
Imagine what the Kevin Spacey lookalike is dealing with these days.
Yeah, we were talking about him last week. If you're listening, if you could look like any celebrity, who would it be?
People tell me I look like Carlton from Fresh Prince. I didn't choose that look, but that's what they tell me I look like. I don't see it, but everybody else does, apparently.
A little bit. I wouldn't say you're a dead ringer for Carlton from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air like this guy is a dead ringer for the singer-songwriter Ed Sheeran. But if you could look, or if you do look like somebody, who is it? But if you could look like anybody, who would you choose to look like? Text us. 504-260-9595. Keep your text short. One or two sentences. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. This is going to be the time when we congratulate the winner of this past weekend's King of the Bayou. Because after last night's Monday night football game, the week is over. And this is where we will call the winner to congratulate them and tell them, hey, you just won $50 worth of groceries at Zapardo's Family Market in Metairie. Congratulations. But we're having an issue. A little technology issue, and we're not able to do that right now. I know we mentioned it yesterday, Coleman, but the winner had, or the leader going into last night, had 14.
Right.
Picked 14 correct NFL games this past weekend, which was incredible because that means yesterday that person only missed one game because there are 16 games.
And we also mentioned that Kat had one game. So if she picked Dallas last night, she probably has two games, which means she would have 2 points right now.
I think that's more difficult than winning 14 or 15 games. I think losing 14 or 15 games is harder. So good job, Kat. But we will call the winner tomorrow morning. If you haven't gotten involved in our King of the Bayou, it just started. We started 2 weeks late this year because of Hurricane Ida. You still got time to get in. All right, so you only missed 1 week. You pick the NFL games, just pick the winners, no point spread. And whoever picks the most each week will win a $50 gift card for Zapardo's Family Market. And at the end of the season, the grand prize winner got $6,000 worth of prizes, including a diamond ring, a 65-inch high-definition flat-screen television, an autographed Saints Drew Brees jersey, and an autographed Drew Brees football. Sign up at our website. It's free. It don't cost anything. At Bayou957.com.
Yeah, if you want to check out the leaderboard, trust me, all the important people know about it, and they're fixing it, so don't fret. It'll be all over shortly. All the more important people who get paid more than us to handle stuff like that, they're all on it.
Yeah, I don't know what the technical issue is, but...
I have a theory. I think the prizes are so immense and excitement was so vast and everybody was jumping in on it that we broke the server because, you know, the prizes are just, what, diamond rings and jerseys and footballs and Zapardo's gift cards. Like
television.
Yeah, man, a big screen TV. The server couldn't handle all the excitement.
Well, so we will call the winner of this week's King of the Bayou tomorrow morning at this time. We usually do it on Tuesday mornings. We will do that tomorrow. But if you haven't signed up for free to play, it's a lot of fun. And get your friends and your coworkers involved, and you can have contests with them and battles with them. And then when you go to our website, Bayou957.com. You see it all right in front of you. All the numbers are right there. All the statistics are right there. It's really cool. It's a lot of fun. So we will call that winner tomorrow morning on the show. Coleman, I just saw an interview with the actor Will Smith. And he said
that he likes to get jiggy with it.
He does. But he said both he and his wife, during their marriage, have done sex with other people. So I guess they've got kind of an open relationship. But, I mean, think about that. I mean, if you're Will Smith, probably everywhere he goes, and his wife is a looker, Jada Pinkett Smith, I'm sure these two, wherever they go, they've got people throwing themselves at them saying, do sex with me. I want to do sex with you. And so maybe that has helped keep their marriage together. Think about that for a second. Because usually when people are married, if one cheats, if one does sex with somebody else, a lot of times that's the end of the marriage. But maybe that is keeping those two together.
But you also have to be as hot as Will Smith and as hot as Jada Pinkett Smith. I'm quite sure they had a conversation early on, a long time ago, before they dove into their relationship. They said, look, you obviously are hot. I'm obviously hot. We obviously like to do sex. So I'm sure that we're going to bump into people who are probably sexually attracted to both of us, and we're probably going to be attracted to them, and we might get tempted. So how about we just agree, look, if you see somebody you want to smash, you get to smash them as long as you come back to me, and I'll smash whoever I want to smash as long as, you know, I come back to you, but we're not going to live in this reality where we're going to sit here and think nobody that's hot is going to try to do sex with us. And we have to say, well, no, I can't because I'm married.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. I remember watching The Sopranos, and Carmela Soprano, who's Tony Soprano's wife, said, look, I know you're banging these other women. Just don't bring home any diseases. You know, I mean, it's, again, in many marriages, that would end the marriage. But I guess the way Carmela Soprano thought about it was, look, he's going to do what he's going to do. I still have the financial benefits of everything he does.
Yeah, I do find when men bring something to the table, like a lot of money, and in the Soprano situation, protection in money, in Will Smith's situation, looks in money. I do find that when a man has some sort of power, something to bring to the table, women are more inclined to forgive them if they do go out and smash another chick, because it's like, oh, well, obviously he's going to smash another chick. Look at him. Or look, you know what I'm saying?
You know who I thought about, too, when I saw this story? I thought about Jon Bon Jovi. Because Jon Bon Jovi married his high school sweetheart. And think about his life after high school, being Jon Bon Jovi, being a rock star, traveling the world many times. And he's a guy that probably so many places where he went, I mean, after a Bon Jovi concert, before a Bon Jovi concert, during a Bon Jovi concert, how many really hot women would want to do sex with him, would want to be with him? So thinking to myself, it's probably something similar going on with him. And you know, when it comes to sex, just because you're doing sex with somebody else doesn't mean you love them.
Of course.
Of course. I mean, you could a man could love his wife, but if he's got all these good-looking women throwing themselves at him, it's tough to say no. Look, if you're listening right now, what do you think of what Will Smith said?
Well, some would say if you can't have sex with somebody other than your spouse, that means you really didn't love your spouse to begin with. If you have it within you to step out and do sex with somebody else, that means you probably really didn't truly love your spouse. Because if you loved them, you wouldn't do sex with anybody
else. You
know,
I could see someone saying that and why they say that. But I could also see how, you know, someone like Will Smith and Will Smith's wife, they're married to each other. But if everywhere they go, people are throwing themselves at them because they want sex with them, it's wild how this could help save the marriage when in other cases this is what would end a marriage. If you're listening, is that something that could ever be accepted in your marriage or completely not? And I understand if you say completely not.
I can understand if you're a swingers.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest with you. If I was married, which I'm not, and I want to be married, I would have a tough time. I would have a tough time with my wife doing sex with another dude. I would have a tough time with that.
Well, I'm on the opposite. I don't want to get married. I've seen what marriages do to people, and I think I want to go my entire life without being married. I still like to do sex, however, don't get me wrong. But relationships, I don't think that's my bag.
I mean, are you amazed that cheating with other people is helping keep this marriage and maybe others? Look, I don't know what Jon Bon Jovi does or did, but he married his high school sweetheart. You're telling me that that's the only woman Jon Bon Jovi's ever been with? Are you kidding?
When you put it that way, it sounds miserable, right? On one end, you're like, man, I've been married to my wife for 40 years and I've never had sex with another woman. It's supposed to be celebrated, but you also think, man, you mean to tell me you've never had sex with any other woman your entire life, and you're going to die only having sex, that one type of sex? Like, dude, there's so many different types of sex you're going to be having.
No, I say that with people who married their high school sweethearts or their college sweethearts.
Oh, they missed out. They're missing out on so much.
My God, do you know how many? Text us. I mean, what do you think about this? Is this something that you could live with if you're married or completely not? And I understand if you say completely not, because I wouldn't want my wife doing sex with another dude. Text us. 504-260-9595. Keep it short. One or two sentences. Let us know. And we'll if it's good, we'll read your text coming up on the show. I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. Still got a bunch of stuff here. Hang out with us on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. If you're just joining us, we were talking about how Will Smith, the actor, just did an interview where he said both he and his wife have done sex with other people during their marriage. And maybe that's one thing that has kept that marriage together. Jada Pinkett Smith is really hot. And what's wild about that, that's usually the thing that ends marriages. But in this case, it may have kept their marriage together. And I asked you to text us, in your marriage, is that something that would fly, or is that a no-go? That would never happen.
This first text says, love and sex aren't connected. My wife and I are totally cool with it, and it's fun to get different types of sex.
Wow.
Crow from Slidell says, there's no way I'm okay with my woman going out and doing all that kind of nasty stuff with another dude and then coming home to me. No way.
But see, this is one of those where I wouldn't, if I was married, I wouldn't want my wife doing sex with another dude.
Well, William says, the thoughts of another man's junk in my wife really makes me ill, but I'm up for a threesome. Me, my wife, and another hot babe, that's definitely on the bucket list. That's kind of a double standard. This text says, we tried it and it always led to problems, either for her or for me. It's a give and a take. Yeah, at least you gave it a shot and you figured out where you stand. This text says, only ever been with my fiance. Before that, we already established that we'd have one, quote unquote, pass. You know a funny story about the pass? The pass is when you allow your spouse to get one in, like the free pass. There was this dude and his wife. It's going to be quick. A dude and his wife, they gave each other three passes. But the dude, his passes were people he could never smash, like celebrities, like Scarlett Johansson and stuff like that. While the wife, her passes were just people around the neighborhood that she could smash at any time. So I think she won that deal.
Yeah. Boy, that... Okay, we'll let you. What do you mean the guy across the street?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah, he picked Scarlett Johansson and Penelope Ford and all that.
Thank you for the text. We always appreciate them. Coming up next is the dumbest thing I read all morning. And it's some things that a celebrity has said. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. And it's time for the dumbest thing I read all morning. So the actress Gwyneth Paltrow has said some dumb things, or she said some crazy things, whichever word you want to use. And I've got some of the things that she has said right in front of me here. She compared mean online comments to war. She said, you come across online comments about yourself and your friends, and it's a very dehumanizing thing. It's almost like how in war, you go through this bloody dehumanizing thing, and then something is defined out of it.
Okay.
She she compared mean online comments to war.
I guess I kind of see where she's trying to go. I guess she said it shapes her as a person, maybe. Going through traumatic experience shapes her.
It was a dumb comment.
Okay.
She also said, Coleman, she claimed that she has it harder than mothers with regular jobs. She said, I think it's different when you have an office job because it's routine and, you know, you can do all the stuff in the morning and then you come home in the evening. When you're shooting a movie, they're like, we need you to go to Wisconsin for 2 weeks. And then you work 14 hours a day, and that part of it is very difficult. I think to have a regular job and be a mom is not as, of course there are challenges, but it's not like being on set. So she's complaining that as a multi-million dollar actress, that it's harder for her being a mother than it is for other mothers.
I guess she's trying to say house mothers are closer to their kids than actresses who have to travel the world.
That was a dumb statement.
Okay. I'm trying to help you out, Gwen.
And then she said when it came time, someone asked her about what her and her family eat. Gwyneth Paltrow said she'd rather smoke crack than eat cheese from a tin. And she also said that she would rather die than let my kid eat cup of soup. So think about that. Now I like cup of soup. Here's a cup of soup.
Okay.
And here's death. Pick one. Gwyneth Paltrow picks death. She would rather die than have her kid eat cup of soup.
Can we say maybe she's just embellishing to make a point? You don't think she'd actually die to eat cup of soup, right? If the opportunity really presented itself, I'm quite sure she would eat the cup of soup.
When she was 29 years old, she said this about aging. I just turned 29, so I probably don't have that many good years left in me. Huh. Although these days, you know, 30 is the new, 16 or 17, and 40 is the new 30.
Yeah, I've heard that, like 60 is the new 40 and dead is the new 90.
She said this about using psychedelics, about using psychedelic drugs. She admitted using MDMA.
I have no clue what that is.
It's ecstasy, right?
I don't know.
Something like that. It's got
something she got from a shaman, maybe.
She said it was a very, very emotional experience. Being the person that people perceive me to be is inherently traumatic. I mean, she says some wild stuff. Remember, this is the woman who sells a candle that smells like her vajayjay. And I think it says that right on the side of the candle.
Yeah, it smells like Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina.
I think that's what it
says. That's the name of the actual candle.
She has said some ridiculous things.
You never felt pressure to be the person everybody wanted you to be instead of just being yourself? Like, so I get that pressure sometimes, especially when I do day drinking videos. You know, the people have a perception of what they want from me based on what I have to give. Like, they make their own, they put me on a pedestal, and it's like, I don't know if I can live up to these standards.
Stop talking like Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm trying. And here's what she said on her haters.
She has haters?
I guess Gwyneth Paltrow, I guess when she sees mean things about her online or whatever the case may be. Gwyneth Paltrow said, I can't pretend to be somebody who makes $25,000 a year.
I don't
well,
have
boy,
to,
she's an actress.
I don't she have to pretend.
She's an actress. She can't act like she makes $25,000 a year.
That one was dumb. That one
I think
was,
all of these things she said were dumb.
That one was dumb. That was dumb. That was dumb.
I think everything she said was dumb, Coleman. And finally, she took credit for the yoga trend. She said, forgive me if this comes out wrong, but I went to do a yoga class in Los Angeles recently, and the 22-year-old girl behind the counter was like, have you ever done yoga before? And I literally, I turned to my friend and I was like, you have this job because I've done yoga before.
Wow, that's narcissistic.
Dude, everything she says is narcissistic.
I still smash, though, at the end of the day.
Well, some of the eyebrow-raising comments by Gwyneth Paltrow, that's these comments, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.